This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
This takes me back to my childhood. Love listening to music that makes you feel old. As Bo teased, could the Falcons pass rusher come from Las Vegas? That brings me to this. David Deshant of The Athletic put together a list of the top 10 free agents at every position, and we are focusing on the top 10 free agent edge rushers and whether or not the Falcons could land any of these guys. Josh Sweat from the Eagles, Khalil Mack, the Chargers, Malcolm Kuntz from the Raiders, Chase Young, the Saints, Hassan Reddick, from the Jets, DeMarcus Lawrence from the Cowboys. You've got Deo from the Colts, Joseph Osai from the Bengals, Baron Browning from the Cardinals. And then, of course, there's Aziz from the Giants. And I wanted to make sure I had some of the last names correct. So,
yeah, I Aziz Ojulari is a guy that I like. I like Aziz. That's probably a guy that on this list, to me, I just don't know what he's going to command, but I think he's the guy that could come here and play. I think he had his best year of his career this year, and that they had a pretty good pass rush. DeMarcus Lawrence is a guy that's kind of been, if I'm not mistaken, he was injured all last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's obviously a guy that's been good in the past. The name that was linked to the Falcons, I believe last week, in another article by another projection, was Malcolm Kuntz. From Vegas. I believe I'm pronouncing his last name right. He had a really good 2023 as kind of his breakout year. He had 8 sacks. And before that, he had 2 sacks in 2 previous years. He didn't play at all last year, was injured. But he's the one that's kind of has been linked to the Falcons. The problem for me with that is what the money he gets. I've looked at some projected contracts from some of the, like, Over the Cap and Spoke Track are the two that I trust the most. They both do a phenomenal job. They think he could get up towards, basically, it's a Drew Dahlman effect, where around $20 million a year because of the limited number, his age, and the limited number of standout pass rushers at his age. Because guess what? He is an age, and I didn't even think about this before, but we were watching something with Pete Prisco, who's a friend of the show, Pete, and I know a colleague of yours at CBS, Jeff, and he said that the premier age that he always hears is 26 years old for free agents. That's what they want.
Yeah.
So if you are saying the number he could fetch is, what, $20 million is what you're
saying?
That's
what some have projected, and a two-year $20 million deal.
So then, and that's what
for 10
it
sacks.
Might take to keep a Dahlman. Like, you kind of get where I'm going. Is it worth it to try to make something work and let Dahlman leave to get an edge rusher?
Yeah. I think it is. Mike, I want you to answer this more than me. For me, yes, because I think Ryan Neuzel is close enough to Dahlman, but I can't explain the why.
Well, let me just start.
As well as you
let me back out a little bit away from Drew Dahlman. It's not so much Drew Dahlman as the position. It's a lot harder to find a pass rusher, as we well know in this town, than it is to find a good center. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. That's why you usually don't see $20 million being thrown around for centers. Now, every projection I've seen has Drew Dahlman as a top 8, top 10 free agent right now in this period that's upcoming. I just think that when you look at what the Falcons have done recently, and that is Ryan Neuzel, that is Javon Gwynn, that is re-signing Matthew Hennessy off the street last year, those guys can be serviceable. Not to the point where they'll ever be what Drew Dahlman was, but, you know, a 20% drop-off doesn't really equal $15 million in terms of that. Now, I look at this list of free agents, and I got to tell you, You get Josh Sweat, who I think will get probably a three-year deal north of $50 million. He'll have some of that longevity built into his. But outside of that, you tell me if I'm wrong. I'll go Khalil Mack, Malcolm Kuntz, Chase Young, Hassan Reddick, DeMarcus Lawrence. Let's just stop at six. Because I think there is a lot of intrigue around Azeez Ojulari because he's from Marietta High School and he's obviously from around here. Do you not get two through six, Mack, Kuntz, Young, Reddick, Lawrence, and think they're probably going to make $20 million per, but I'll be shocked if the contract is anywhere north of 2 years? Like, they all look like Danielle Hunter kind of contracts to me. Like, those kind of situations where you want to bring them in and you're excited to have them, but you're not going to sign any of these guys long term because you probably don't believe in what they could be long term, because they're all a little bit longer in the tooth. And or, you know, Chase Young, a little bit injury riddled. Like I said, DeMarcus Lawrence. It just feels like every single one of these guys you could fill in the blank with 2 years, $40 million, and that's probably what you'd walk out the door with.
Chase Young has 22 sacks in 5 years. Now, he has battled injuries, as you said. 22 sacks in 5 years got me $13 million last year with the Saints. I'm good. I'll pass. I'd rather pay a younger guy with, and I know he's coming off injury too. Now, Chase Young, hell, he's just about turned 26 himself.
But he got to Washington in the Rivera era there.
Mm-hmm.
Was drafted by them, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and he had, in 20, and he had, to his credit, he had 16 and a half sacks his first 4 years, one of which he played only three games. Since then, he's had, that's not right. He's got more sacks than that in his career.
I was going to say, it kind of has to, but
he's got 28 sacks in his career, so... So he had a bunch of those our first 4 years, what I'm saying. He hasn't done much. He's actually become more of a run stopper, I think, than anything.
To me, does he not remind you of like an ace reliever that just enjoyed an incredible period in their career, but you keep bringing him in like a non-roster invitee kind of thing?
You know,
like if there was a football non-roster invitee, I feel like that would be Chase Young.
You know who he is to me? A poor man's Jadeveon Clowney. Amazing,
poor man's
amazing physical specimen as far as like what he was in college. Dominant, came in, had a good. I don't know what you consider 7.5 sacks anymore, because I hear here, I don't know if Katie gets criticized for getting 6.5 sacks every year here, and then you know, so if you can't tell me that's great when Chase Young gets 1.5 sacks more as the number one overall pick.
I think it was two. Yeah.
So I would say that. But yeah, I think Jadeveon Clowney is much better as a run defender. I think Jadeveon Clowney is probably considered closer to one of the better run stopping edge players in the NFL in his career. That's why he keeps picking up places, and he can give you 6 to 9 sacks a year.
It goes back to, too, we've talked to Rusty a ton this offseason as we build towards, you know, the combine and everything else, about guys like Mykel Williams and how hard it is to find a body like that. And it seems like even, and I'm not saying this about any guy in particular, but even if guys like don't love the game of football, if you have a body like that and you know you can go out and get and put the other team at risk of one sack per game, like you'll find a home as long as you want to do it. And There are some guys in the NFL that kind of fit that profile. I don't know that he loves football, but I know he can probably get us one sack a game if he's healthy and we get in the right situation.
Well, and you mentioned, like, Rusty and all of us have talked about Shamar Stewart's stats in college. And Rusty brings up Trayvon Walker, right? And he says, well, he hardly had any sacks in college at Georgia. He's had, what, I think 20 and a half in the last 2 years in his three-year career. Chase Young has 30 and a half in college, and he has, I think, 28 and a half right now as a NFL player.
Yeah.
And you look at Trayvon Walker, who had, what, maybe like 6 in his career at Georgia, and he's already got almost as much in 3 years of a career.
But go back to the injury stuff you pointed out, too. Was it I can't remember exactly what it was for him. Was it an ACL?
It was an ACL in the 21 season. He actually, or 22 season. If I'm not mistaken, he tore it here. I'm almost positive.
ACL? I thought it was like an Achilles or a calf.
Almost positive he tore it here.
You know what's interesting, too, and I want to go back to your own Katie point about the production he's got and how much of this production is timing and the outlook, really, timing. Because there is going to be people, and you got all the way down the list to Azeez Ojulari. I point out the fact that he's a Georgia guy, Marietta guy. He had six sacks last year, and he's playing. You know, he's playing with a number of pass rushers up in New York that you really love as pass rushers. There are going to be people that clamor for Azeez Ojulari to come here, no matter what the contract costs.
Absolutely.
And his output has been on pace with exactly what Arnold Ebiketie has been over the course of his career, feels like.
And it's just like with people clamoring for Georgia players to come here. But as Mike pointed out, his stats and what he's done, but it's on par with Ebiketie.
Yeah, that's the thing is quarterback, edge rusher, they're the two hardest positions in football, I think, in 2025 to get the right guy. Because every year, guys sign the free agent they think he's got, doesn't pan out. They draft the guy, doesn't always pan out. You don't know who's going to pan out, who's not. That's why they're so hard to get. That's why we have been the Cleveland Browns of edge rush. Because Cleveland has, like, remember that jersey that's out there?
List.
Yeah, the quarterback list. Well, that's been us with elite edge rushers.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the situation.
I agree with you.
That's what you don't know. Braylon Trice is going to be. If you're looking to pair that 12 sack a year guy with an Arnold Ebiketie, who then would probably become you would probably take his numbers and go from what six and a half a year.
Yeah,
and I would say you could easily give him three more sacks a year if he had an elite guy opposite him.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far. I will say, and this is the nuance and the caveat that kind of comes with this conversation, I think a lot of the talk around Arnold Ebiketie and the frustration comes from the fact that it's the timing of the sacks, right? It's not like most of the time where Arnold Ebiketie gets sacked, it's not like at that point you absolutely have to have it in the fourth quarter. It's not like the closer version, the way we all, and we, I know, God knows, I used to block him every day in practice. We always go back to John Abraham and him being the closer and everything else. And you knew that in the fourth quarter, when the other team was trying to make that drive, that he was going to rush that edge and take somebody down. That's just not the version we get out of Arnold Ebiketie. His six sacks or whatever it might be, it just doesn't ever seem to come in the clutch situations.
Well,
and that's the problem, I think, for a lot of Falcons fans.
And that was why the disappointment of Matthew Judon came. If Matthew Judon would have had seven sacks here last year, but I think he had like five and a half.
Right. I think he was right on par with Arnold Ebiketie. I think he was.
So if let's just say he has nine sacks, you would have been like, well, that's not what we wanted. We thought we got more. But if they'd have come in the most opportune times and it helped you win ball games, the fans' thought process of him would have been completely different.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a good point that you bring up about the closer thing, and that's what really you're searching for. Because what happens is that guy can make the play, to your point, in those moments, but he's also getting the guy opposite of him sacks because you have to pay attention to him at all times because you never know when it's coming.
Well, you want the guy that is the Myles Garrett, that type of guy, where you sit in coaches' meetings with the opponent and they're describing him as being the game wrecker.
Mm-hmm.
Just destroys your entire game plan. So you're looking for that. And then the question is, what can they afford to pay for that, given the situation that this team is in?
Yeah, you don't want the guy that they're that when you go to those meetings, Steph, that you're talking about, that you just want to have a guy on your defense that's like that. But it's not quite the same when it's like, yeah, number three, we got to watch out for him and late in games.
War Daddy.
Yeah, I've only sat in a couple of meetings where, okay, you're facing with the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, Max Crosby.
So I've had coaches describe Max Crosby the same way, Myles Garrett the same way. Those are the type of players that you're hoping to acquire here and have teams look at them like that.
They talk about our safety that way, Jesse Bates, but, you know, you'd like to see it coming off the edge every once in a while.
When we come back here, well, where's Devontae Adams going to end up? Does it have a lot to do with where Aaron Rodgers goes? That's maybe part of their plan. We'll discuss next when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.